March 11th, 2018. GNSO and CSG. Policy Committee meeting, 5 o'clock to 6:30. Room 103A.
Okay, guys, I think it's a good time to start. We're already late by 7 minutes, and I know that everyone wants to leave early to go to somewhere tonight. Okay, so let's start the recording. So to be fair to also to, yeah, okay. Welcome, everyone. This session is the policy committee session that we have for NCSG in every ICANN meeting. Usually we try to cover the public meeting, GNSO Council, the GNSO Council meeting agenda, but since really the, I would say, the agenda is, I'm not going to say light, but it's mostly a topic for discussion. We don't have motion to vote, so it will be like kind of update and so on, and I don't think we have anything really substantive at this level to discuss for now. And by yesterday meeting, the Enrich meeting, I think the kind of agreement is to we focus on the letter that was shared in the mailing list about the GDPR interim model. So I think there was some discussion going in the list to make some changes. So the purpose really to get this done and to get an agreement. So, Farzan, I think you can, if we get agreement, you can send it today. I don't see Stephanie here, but I think we should start anyway. Okay, so maybe give the floor to Farzan, since you initiated the process, the first draft, and then there was the addition from Stephanie. So maybe if you want to highlight any the main parts or any area of concerns, but I think most of them were kind of resolved. So, but yeah.
Thank you, Rafiq. Farzan Abadi speaking. So, we went through this. Stephanie drafted it and added to it for the past 2 days. The merit and the premise of our comment has not changed. And there is not much of addition. We are just pointing out our position, putting more analysis and background to it. So I don't think there is any change. But if we can scroll down, what I suggested to do is to put the bullet points that are on the last page, on the first page, as an executive summary. So that we have, so that when they are reading it, they know what we are talking about, the position, the bullet points, and then they can go through the rest of the comments. And I think that would make them read our our comments. If you agree, we can do that. If not, and we don't think that these bullet points are really all encompassing everything that is being said on the document, then it doesn't matter. And then the other thing that I wanted to point out was, I think the comments that I made were all accepted, Aiden, right? For the model, we have the model 3 now, support for model 3 in there.
Aidan Ferdelin for the record, not in as many words. So we do not say that we support Model 3 in the interim. However, there is language that Stephanie has inserted saying that, just not saying Model 3, just saying that this is the only interim solution that we could accept. I will just find it on my phone, and then I'll consult. If I could just make one other point, I think that the bullet points that are summing up the document at the bottom are not an executive summary, but we might want to add an executive summary. So the bullet points, which which I inserted, do not 100% reflect the contents of the letter. They are more reinforcing some important principles that we support this being a community-led process. It's really just trying to sort of make a maximum impact as we want to see happen. So it's not really an executive summary, but if we do want to add an executive summary to the top of the document, then I can work on that language.
Okay, thanks, Aidan. I mean, it's just a letter. I don't think that we need to add more executive summaries. It should be short, sweet. Mm-hmm. And since I think the context is we want to send it during the meeting, since the whole discussion is going on. So if just to, I think that we are stressing the main points. Okay, so as you can see, it's shared in the Adobe Connect, so I hope that everyone can maybe go quickly through it. Okay, so in terms of process.
I stand corrected. I'm sorry, Rafiq. Actually, Model 3 is mentioned by name in there, and that is under the heading of tiered access models. And the language is, while we wait for a proper multi-stakeholder process to emerge and start work on tiered access, we need to go back to Model 3 in your previous proposals, and it expands upon that.
Yeah.
So Stephanie did add that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay. Contract parties cannot be put at risk by forcing them to provide unaccountable access to personal data. Okay. So just want to say, in terms of process, we need the policy committee to endorse that. I think we have, okay, still missing maybe one counselor. And for the other members, I think because Ponce
and Martin is in the RPM working group at the moment.
Okay. It's just we need kind of the consensus, but I mean, I think we can get it here. Yes, Farzan, what do you want to say?
There was also a discussion about whether we want to mention that the GAC should cooperate with the community to come up with this tiered model or not. So on one hand, if we say that now we have given to GAC being in charge of coming up with a tiered model, on the other hand, if the ICANN org really insists on this, that GAC comes up with a model, with the tiered access, then we want to emphasize that community should be included. The kind of the dilemma was that whether we include the text now that GAC should work with the community, or just remove it and just support Model 3 for the moment.
Aidan Ferdeline, for the record, my personal view, but I'm of course open to hear others, is to keep the language that Stephanie has inserted. So the language has been softened in the most recent version, and it also narrows the scope. And so Stephanie has said that the role of the GAC should be limited to the identification of law enforcement agencies in their country. And I think that language is quite neutral.
Yes, Tatiana Tropina, for the record, I want to support what Aidan said, because I think that this is very clear. And I think that this is the message we should be sending. The role of the GAC here and why ICANN should rely on the GAC, because it's not up to ICANN to identify who are legitimate, like who actually have the power of law enforcement. Might be different in many countries, and ICANN here cannot and shall not identify them on its own. So in this way, I think we are very clear in this message. If there is a need, we can reinforce this language, but I believe that we don't have time. And it's clear now.
And can I just, Farzan Abedi, sorry, permissionless. So my point is that, yes, this is clear that GAC can come up with a law enforcement list. That's fine. But with coming up with the tiered access model, what our position is that GAC cannot on its own come up with a tiered access model without consulting with the community, right? Okay,
so, great.
That's fine.
Okay, so that's why I wanted to read the text, so to be clear. So because what's said, for this reason, we respectfully suggest that the scope of their activity in the tiered access to be limited to the identification of law enforcement agencies where they certainly have the expertise. So,
Farzan Abadi is speaking. I'm very happy with this language. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Aidan, for leaving for the record. And indeed, in the following paragraph, to sort of reinforce that, Stephanie mentions that the community should be, that access to data should not be unrestricted, that the community should be involved in determining what the level of access is once a legitimate law enforcement agency has been identified. So the community should be involved in the following discussions in ascertaining that. Thanks.
I mean, also we need to have in mind is all this still ongoing. So, I mean, it's not ending here. And another thing we want maybe to prepare is for the cross-community session tomorrow, because it's not just we have Stephanie on the panel, but we need, if there is the time for the Q&A, how we should intervene to reinforce the message and to show support. So maybe later, Farzana, because you were involved in the preparation for the session, maybe you can give a heads up, what's the agenda and so on. But back to the letter. So the idea is we get this done today. If we say, like, should within 24 hours, it's really, we are within 24 hours. So if we can get, I mean, I hope that everyone in the policy committee in particular had chance to check the latest version. It was shared in the list. So you will find its red line to highlight the latest change. So, yes, Aidan.
Thanks. And I did identify this on the list. There is, a few times now, there is one section that I think is incomplete. Under the heading anonymous email mechanisms, mm-hmm. there's an ellipsis and the sentence is missing something.
Which one? Okay.
The heading anonymous email mechanisms.
Yeah.
So it's, if we scroll down, I don't have the page number on my phone.
It's in page 4.
So see, following, in particular, this mechanism can be used to constrain full access to it in a tiered system. One of our biggest concerns, ellipses, access rights. So I think we might need to insert something there. It's in the final sentence. It just appears incomplete to me, but maybe it isn't.
What do you think is missing, Aida?
That is very true. I don't know in particular what is missing. I just think there is a word or a sentence missing there.
Okay, so, I mean, let's maybe agree that we will endorse, like, in this general, the idea to send this letter. We can do that small edits just to correct and so on later on. Yeah. I mean, it's not going to change the substance, but I want to really to get the sense of, since we are here, I know the sensitivity is ending in so short time and not having enough, but we were forced to do so because how things are handled for the GDPR, and so we have to respond to that. Okay, so just checking, Aidan, as you went through this document, is there any other changes that you need to highlight?
A very small typo. If we go to the following page, page 4, and the second bullet point, I'll just find it. Although maybe it is the following page, actually. Sorry, I know this is not ideal.
Since we have all these correspondence.
Maybe it's a full-on page. This letter is longer than I remember. Just look at them. I'll comment in a moment.
What did you ask, Tatiana? I couldn't hear you. In Adobe Connect doesn't work, but okay.
It does. Try Command F. Oh, no, it doesn't. Actually, it doesn't.
Okay. I have the document. So what we are looking for exactly...
It's quite possible that someone has already fixed the typo.
I mean, as I said, Aidan, I think the type of small change, we can handle that later. I mean, it's not...
Simply a case of an extra period being between... it's like domain... period name. Maybe yes. Someone fixed it already. But also in that same sentence, the word or, and I think we meant to include the word nor, which kind of does change the meaning of the sentence.
Okay, so one thing, since Farzana will send the letter, can you, Farzana, do those last changes before sending?
To only protect my reputation, for sure.
Okay, I mean, okay, it's good to have fun. It was challenging. It's just how to cover this. I understand maybe everyone not on the same page because so many versions. But the whole idea that we want really to stress and emphasize many times that we need to respond. And so we worked on those several points, but it's not the end. It's still going on. And... I'm not sure what will be the next step. There's something maybe we need to discuss in terms of strategy, because we heard like from Joran that the ICANN organization discussing with the DBA, and I expect to get guidance from them. But Article 29 working group cannot give any legal advice on this matter. So we are still on this discussion. So we may need to think how we can influence on that side. As we sent them a letter before, and there is the Berlin paper, so maybe thinking is how we can more use that that area to influence, since it seems that the ICANN organization is expecting to get more guidance from them. We have, as I said, the session tomorrow, but we may also think if we need another correspondence, something else that we want to bring another issue. So all this now open for discussion. Okay. So, yes, Farzana. Yes, okay, Farzana, and then we go to Zania.
Farzana, by you speaking, can I get rid of end user in the document and just put non-commercial domain name registrants or domain name registrants instead of end users? Because I saw on the screen there was an end user, but I mean it's not. It's just a minor change. It depends, but I think we are advancing the interest of domain name registrants. So if we could do that, that would be good. But if you just allow me to do that, I will just do it and send it.
I think just registrants, I would have no objection to. Yeah, so I wouldn't put necessarily non-commercial, but I would, but just registrants I would have no objection to. Thanks.
Ozan for the record from ICANN.org. We have a comment from Renata in the chat box. She's pointing the page 4, second bullet point. Why can't we see it on the screen?
I think that was the bullet point that has the typo.
Oh, yes. So you can see now. In the final sentence, it says, but that does not mean that ICANN should facilitate that, nor that these uses of registrant data are in the public dot interest. So this is the point where Renata has raised in the chat box.
This is the typo.
That's good. It's the typo. Okay, that's there.
Thank you for helping us find it, Renata. And just following that, that or is meant to be nor.
Okay, so it seems we need some quick proofreading later. I don't think really it's the most effective exercise in such meeting or such setup, but I think just for Zana, maybe.
Yeah, I will sit down.
Yeah, I am happy to volunteer you. Okay.
Before 6:30, please.
Please let us go.
I have no interest on that to leaving, let you go early, but okay. Okay, so. Okay. Okay, so I think for the letter now we have this last version. We highlighted the latest changes, and I think we presented the spirit and what we are trying to achieve, just in terms of procedure and to have this kind of made clear, just to... for in particular for policy committee members, I want to see if you are... supporting that we send this letter if there is no objection. So I want to do this kind of for now. Just for the record, I think because I think Ponslet is not here because he's not in Puerto Rico. Also Nick, so maybe you can give them sending them that we did this for this reason. But I think we have most of the rest of the policy committee members here. So I want to check if there is no objection, that it's the most easy way. Okay, no objection.
I just want to make a reservation here that there is no objection that the proofread document would be sent.
Okay, what...
I assure you, I will not.
And can I just clarify who the recipient of the document is?
Oh, yeah, that is
a... I think you should send to... I mean, you can send to Yaron, to Theresa, Jeffrey, John Jeffrey, also the board if you want. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not a problem. You can spam many people if you want. There is no issue with that.
Yeah, Farzan Abadi speaking. So I think we can send it to everyone that Rafiq mentioned, but also I'm going to CC board up because then they are going to publish our correspondence on their webpage. So I think
okay,
that
and we can also use other venues to remind that we send this. You know, since we are here, it's a good time to do some lobbying and so on. So you can use the letter as kind of talking points. So that's a possibility to, since we are all here, it's a good opportunity to influence than just sending a letter, even if it's an official process, but can do so. Okay, so just to be clear, we are here agreeing, endorsing that we are sending this, agreeing that we will send the proofread version. We highlighted what changes that need to be done. So Farzana and Aiden can do that later. And they will send the latest version to the list, the both lists, so everyone is aware about what we are sending and why. Okay? So I think there was no objection. Or should we tell her that there is no objection to send letter? Or, Hi, Stephanie. Yes, yes, Arsene.
Yeah, just for the records. Mike?
Yeah, sorry about that. And sorry for being late. I got dragged away in a conversation on the GAC stuff. So lost track of time. But you didn't miss me, so.
Arsene Tongali for the records. I mean, I have no objection. I have to confess I haven't had a lot of time to go through the whole document. But I think based on the discussions we had here, and we trust our subject matter experts, I think I'm okay with the document. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Arsene. That's in the record. Okay, so as outlined, that's how we will go forward, and we will keep everyone on update. So, Farzana, you are tasked to follow up with this as the NCSG chair. Okay, but one suggestion I made to you, Farzana, is since we are sending so many letters, maybe just to remind people, if you can resend all the letters that we sent. I think till now it's three toward the first, for the first comment, and then Article 29 and this one, if I'm not missing any. Yes, Aidan.
No, sorry, you're absolutely right. But just one very small addition, if we could add today's date to the letters, because we haven't been doing that so far, and it might be just a good practice to add the date. Thanks. The date that we send the letter.
The email has the date anyway.
Email does, but sometimes when I just open the PDF, it's easier to...
It's fair point for documentation, because we will put it in the wiki, but... Yeah, for someone to go back in the future, yeah.
Is it worth following up or asking Mariam to follow up and send the things through snail mail, particularly when we're talking the CNIL and the Austrian Data Protection Authorities? I'm not dead confident that email isn't going to get lost at the reception desk, you know? I think there's a risk. So, whereas a letter will make it to that person's desk.
Just to be sure, I'll talk about the Article 29 working group. Okay, yeah, we can snail or whatever animal mail. okay. It makes sense. I think official communication with government or state organization. Okay. I think that was done. Can we maybe move to the next? And discussing about the whole week, but in particular tomorrow's session. Farzan, and then we go to Stephanie, maybe.
Farzan Abedi speaking. So I just wanted to... So tomorrow morning, we are going to have an NCSG meeting with the GAC. And we are going to talk about... three things. First is the convergence of some of the NCSG values with the GAC, and which I will cover. And the second is privacy, GDPR, which Stephanie is going to make a couple of comments on that, and then we are going to open it to the floor for a discussion with GAC. And then we are going to go to the rights protection mechanism, which Kathy is going to discuss about, you know, due process and fair use and trademark overreach. And so this is what we're going to do for tomorrow. Should I go through what we are going to do for our open NCSG meeting or not? Yes. Okay. Yes, Tatiana.
Tatiana Tropina speaking for the record. Farzi, after today's meeting of GNSO and GAC, I wanted to ask you a question. Did GAC confirm that they're going to discuss this, or we are just coming then? Yeah, because I thought that GAC was going to discuss GDPR at the meeting with GNSO, so I'm just wondering, I'm sincerely wondering how it's going to go tomorrow. Rafi?
Yeah, it's like soccer game. The GAC lost one of their best players. That's why they didn't well today. So,
yes, I sent the agenda 3 weeks ago to GAC, and right after the GNSO meeting, I discussed with Manal what we are going to say, and the only comment I got was that, you know, we only have 30 minutes. So rest assured, we are going to discuss this. But last time we were really good with our time. So hopefully tomorrow we're going to be as well.
The last remark, Tatiana Tropina, they managed to discuss quite a packed agenda with Gina, so only in, 40 minutes?
Okay, so Stephanie, you have your hands up.
Yes, Stephanie Barron for the record. I'm always reluctant to talk strategy on a recorded conversation. And this is for the benefit of new members. Don't forget that all of our other stakeholder groups are reading our transcripts. So I'm going to be opaque. Talk to me later if you don't understand what I'm saying. We have a whole page in there about how we don't want the GAC to accredit for the tiered system. I don't even think we need to fight that fight because I'm not sure they wanted this. So we don't need to go in with guns blaring, okay? Just putting that out there. So that's all I have to say.
Stephanie, it's not GAC. DPAs have told ICANN, as I told you, that GAC is the legitimate player to do this. This is what I have heard in my discussion with Joran.
Maybe for law enforcement. For law enforcement, but not for the rest of the community.
Farzan is speaking. So what we need to do, we have to clarify with Joran and John Jeffrey whether DPA is saying that GAC should be in charge of the tiered access as a whole or just the law enforcement. So that's that we should discuss.
Yes, but as we say in Canada, pedal douce on this, you know, let's not get anybody inflamed, including some of the other stakeholders.
Farzan is speaking. You are in charge of that segment. So if they're inflamed or, you know, something burns somewhere there, you are going to be...
it's all my fault is basically what she's saying. I'm just teasing. No, actually, Stephanie Perrin for the record, in terms of our strategic questions from the floor, I mean, there's nothing worse than having the whole thing fall flat and having no questions. But actually, there is something worse, and that's getting a wrong question that upsets the careful job you did of managing things in the talk. That can ruin things. So maybe we should spend a little time and think about what questions should we ask. And if nobody has any questions to ask, I'm going to start talking about COSO compliance. So if that doesn't motivate you, I don't know what will. Because I can talk for quite a while about maturity models and COSO compliance and how it's going to make our lives better.
Yeah, thanks. thanks. Oh, just may I ask Farzana, maybe to remind us what the purpose, as you understood, from the cross-community session tomorrow. Okay. You discussed with Steve.
All right. So I'm just going to pull up the agenda here. Basically, Steve and GAC and Steve were charge of this session, and it kind of like went co-organized by GAC and BC. I kind of like throw us in there, and I said we want to be involved too. But what they did was that they just like added me to the description and the agenda, and I kept checking with Stephanie whether this agenda is okay. And so what is going to happen tomorrow is that we are going to have 15 minutes of presentation of the interim model by Marby, by Joran and John Jeffrey. Then we are going to have the gap analysis. So there is going to be the registries, registrars, law enforcement, business users of... who is for cybersecurity. They managed to put in like two representatives there, which is like Tim Chen from Domain Tools and Patrick from Coalition for Online Accountability. I tried to fight that, but I'm a little bit exhausted, so I'm sorry. But then we have Stephanie as the non-commercial user, as the non-commercial stakeholder group, and is going to talk about the gap analysis from that perspective. And then we are going to have at-large internet users. Now, the moderator is going to be Steve, and then it will close with a quick reminder about community work still to be done, and these are going to be discussed efforts to enhance privacy, updates to ICANN's procedure, development of a new policy framework to support potential next generation registration directory services. So I think we can, we have opinions on that. The thing is, I do see that we have 20 minutes of community discussion. So that's where we are going in after Stephanie, after the session goes to that segment. Now, what are we going to say, and which points are we going to emphasize on, and who is going to say it? These are the things that we have to strategize on and decide. Do you want to do it now, or?
I'm not sure about the last part. No, I just want to say that what there was planned from the beginning. We handle the letter and then we prepare for the session. Okay, Stephanie.
No, I'm not
I think I have a, Stephanie Perrin for the record, I think I have a total of about 5 minutes. That's if nobody goes over time. Steve D'Ambianco is going to keep us to time. He's got a timer. He's supposed to cut people off because I'll be towards the tail end. But, I mean, basically I think it's pretty easy. We need to highlight the things that we've highlighted in our letter, really. We don't want the GAC accrediting. I'm brain dead at this point in the day because we had this discussion already, and I'm think I'm going to forget everything. However, we can talk about the tiered model. We need to make the point that is a very tiny little one-liner in there about the reputed difference between tiered and layered. That's a whole new definition. Layered being all you can eat, tiered being a discrete, limited, according to data protection law, targeted approach. I think we need to talk about, and I'm sorry for those who aren't necessarily in agreement with this, but the standards idea is getting quite a bit of traction in various areas. It's a long-term development process. In the absence of treaty law, the way you solve international disagreements is through standards. There's only so much you can do with a standard, but you can do something. And the treaty law, we kick over to the Budapest Convention. There is no way ICANN is circumventing the Budapest Convention by coming up with procedures here with no due process. Okay? Over to Tat.
Yes, and I also would like to say that Budapest Convention itself doesn't provide due process for mutual legal assistance and access to data. It actually leaves everything to the bilateral agreements, depending on the national level. And ICANN cannot either substitute Budapest Convention or create new frameworks. But in a way, I also see the rationale here, you know. So it's a bit of a slippery slope, because without the GAC, ICANN is not able to determine the multitude of players who have power according to the national law to access data. And we have to be careful here, because we can't exclude the GAC, even whether they want it or not. They will have to provide the list, at least, of law enforcement agencies. And, you know, to be honest, I perceive it a bit, and I'm sorry that I'm taking time from this session, but from my perspective, who is working with law enforcement all the time and on mutual legal assistance processes, I perceive it as a big nightmare. Because even if I'm working on the project with three or four countries, It's a completely different setting for each one. And we have how many here? I don't want to think about it.
Yes, and this is Stephanie again. Totally agree, but there's nobody else that can take that job on. You know, when I was with the EWG, we presented this to the GAC, and one of the countries stood up and said, well, we don't know who our law enforcement agencies are. Well, if you don't know who they are, how the heck is the registrar supposed to know whether he's dealing with a crook or an accredited law enforcement agency? So there are models. I talked at the jurisdiction meeting with Malcolm Huddy, who said that the Brits, whatever we may think of the RIPA Act from a civil liberties perspective, they have come up with a single point of contact with an encryption mechanism. Please.
Yes, the beauty of the UK and a couple of other countries that they have centralized, not protected with safeguards, national security architecture, where all the law enforcement are listed in one law, like RIPA, for example. And they have listed there, like, the law enforcement, police, customs services, and whatever, take Germany, or take Switzerland, or take Sweden. You have multitude of laws governing the national architecture, and they are all law enforcement with the right to access data for different purposes, but lawful access. And, like, really, good luck to us, and good luck to GAC in this sense.
Yes, but I mean, if anybody thinks this is new, our Privacy Act in Canada 1982 had the same schedule. If you weren't on the schedule, you didn't get access. Tough. You know, so I promise I won't say that in those words, but this is our message. You know, come on, you guys, shape up.
Thanks, Stephanie. I mean, I think we got it. It's even if it's the GAC will do it, they will have lot of to do. It will be not easy. I mean, you can just say good luck, but that's it. I mean, but that's just really one thing. But what we are talking is about the accreditation. That's we don't want them to handle. And so I think that's why in the letter we are talking about having a community work, a community driven work on this matter. It's not just a small group. Even registries and GAC only, but we want to be involved in the process. That we okay. Tiered access, another point. It's maybe if we are since talking about pizza calzone, it's either a la carte or a buffet model. the tiered is the a la carte, and the layered is the buffet model. But
can I tell my joke?
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, this is the spaghetti model because it looks like they threw it against the wall to see if it would stick, and it doesn't. But I won't, I promise I won't say that.
Okay, so let's not make fun of the Italian cuisine. Okay. That's it. So for tomorrow, even, I mean, saying the agenda, and even they say that it will just take 5 minutes or something for each intervention. It's quite a busy agenda. It's, it may take much more time. So I'm not sure how much will be really left to the audience. I mean, that we can intervene also based on what we did the last cross-community session. Another thing maybe is knowing what Steve DelBianco wants is really that, you know, that we... the idea that we, all the community, come together and work, so we can just build on that. So, but it's good to say the community work together, but I'm also worried that we should is to work on the kind of modalities for that, not just leave to the ICANN to divide, because if you recall, the task force didn't work at all. There was no activity really there. So, yes, Stephanie.
Stephanie Perrin again. We will have to kind of play it by ear. If all the preceding speakers line up and talk about public interest as a purpose, I am going to have to, deal with the concept of public interest as a legitimate basis for processing. It isn't. You know, you cannot justify an all-you-can-eat database under data protection law under the guise of public interest. That all has to be limited and specific. Now, I don't really want to miss the party tonight getting chapter and verse on the GDPR to refute that, but I will refer to those principles. Okay? Make sense? But we'll have to be sort of dynamic in that we'll have to counter whatever comes before us.
Farzan is speaking. So we also talked to Thomas Rickert. And Thomas said that a lot of the reactions of GAC, majorly when it comes to public interest or legitimate interest, is more of a political stance than a legal-based stance. And maybe we can make that point. I think we could make that point in our meeting with GAC, yeah. And we can, yeah.
I recall what he said. A use case is this doesn't mean a purpose. It needs a legal ground for that. And I think what is missing, they just have that laundry list of what they want to do, but doesn't mean that they can do it. They need a legal ground behind that. So
this is why there's so much emphasis in our letter, Stephanie Perrin for the record, on not starting with use cases. This is not the way you do a data protection analysis. You start with ICANN's purpose, not third-party access to information purposes. I mean, if you did that, banks would not be banking with banking privacy for the user. Every man and his dog wants to know how much money you got in the bank, you know, or whether the check's going to bounce. We've never agreed to doing that for banking. Why are we doing it for the internet? Anyway.
Thanks. So you think we have kind of clear idea how we will deal with tomorrow's session? And does Aiden want to add a comment? Yeah.
No, sorry, just a very quick question. I was wondering which of our friends from the at large were speaking and whether we know what argument they'll be advancing. Thanks.
Farzan is speaking. Alan Greenberg will be speaking.
Okay, so it won't be in support of the position that we're putting forward. Thanks.
We cooperate a lot with Holly Raich, who's on the RDS. I have already sent her the draft of our letter. She has not got back to me with any new added items. But she hasn't had time to go through the model. I've also sent it to Thomas Rickert. So they're aware of it. I think if we missed anything, we'll be hearing overnight. It'll be too late if we send it today, but still, you know, we can always bring it up. So the thing about ALAC is they're fundamentally split on this issue. There's the law enforcement side, the cybercrime chasers, and then there's the a couple of data protection folks, and I do mean a couple. But Eric, I don't know whether Eric, I'm going to mangle his name, I apologize to the Germans here, Schweighofer, who's an Austrian law prof, he understands the GDPR stuff, and I think fairly well, and also understands standards because he's doing some of the ISO standards work. So if Eric is here, that might be very helpful. On the other hand, if all the cybercrime guys in ALAC show up, it'll be the other side. It'll be Holly and the cybercrime guys. So it's too soon to tell.
Thanks. Farzan is speaking. I just have a very short remark. Thank you for pointing that out. In the following meetings, I'm going to make sure that the panel is balanced among the views of a band. I will make a fuss if they are not balanced. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. So it seems we don't have much to say more about tomorrow's session. We got an idea about the agenda, what we can expect, and what we should bring. So maybe just putting this as kind of talking point to be sure that we captured them well. Okay, so we get the letter done, we get this, and we have 30 minutes left in this meeting, so we kind of skip it, going through the council agenda. And I'm not sure if we can. I mean, just we want to keep it about the GDPR, but I think we kind of we spent fair time on this. Just we don't want to. I mean, there is no much more we can say, but I would say it's that usually we also try to get update from working groups. Unfortunately, there is one working group having its session already in going, the RPM, but maybe it says, I mean, maybe we should not, I mean, we don't need to use the 30 minutes left, but maybe if there is any topic we should discuss or anything that maybe we should prepare for the rest of the week, so it's good time to do so. But maybe just for example, I think you brought up about the meeting with the GAG, but still we have the meeting with the board. We have, I think, 5 topics, but it's likely we will cover all of them. So also another change is that for the first time we start the Tuesday with the board, meeting the board at 8:30 or 9. So that's maybe changed the whole dynamic that we usually have for meeting with the board. So we start with us. We will set the tone for the whole day for them. Okay, so maybe just reminding about the topic, but I mean, if we need some preparation or discussion about that.
So we will have 1 hour with the board. Is it normally 1 hour?
Yeah.
So I have noticed that our friends in commercial stakeholder group have 1.5 hours, and I don't know why. All right. It's because I'm a newcomer, of course. I don't understand the dynamics of their group. Right. Okay. So
I think we only got 30 minutes in Abu Dhabi with them, right?
Or no.
1 hour.
1 hour. 1 hour sounds generous to me this time.
Okay. So let me just look up the questions that we have. One, the first question is going to be about GDPR. Stephanie is going to raise that question, and we have reworded it in a way, and Stephanie, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but we are going to say, we are going to tell the board what do they think about adopting Model 3. Would we raise that? Yeah.
Yes, and that's in the letter now, I believe. Basically, until there is a decent accreditation system, they're going to have to go with Model 3. The accreditation system for law enforcement can be fixed up fairly quickly for the legitimate actors who normally are already working, because, I mean, most registrars know who they deal with. You know, some of these things are well organized already. We're not starting from zero. Others are not. Okay. In terms of cybercrime fighting, same thing. The solid players are known. They, unlike ICANN, have been working on GDPR compliance. In other words, the APWG has it already prepared. So I actually think some of the legitimate actors in cybercrime can start accessing fairly soon. Now, whether we want to throw that bone out to the crowd tomorrow or whenever this meeting is, I don't know. That's it.
So the question, so you know the GAC, I'm sorry, not GAC, board. board prepares the answers. So let me just read this question. You could, in follow-up, just mention the points that you want to raise, but this is how it's framed. ICANN and GDPR compliance, there are still issues with compliance models offered by ICANN, such as lack of data minimization, maintaining thick data, and giving more power to GAC to come up with a tiered access and certification. Does the board see these aspects of the models as problematic? We would like to know the opinion. And then the board is going to say, no, they are not problematic. No, and then you follow up on the and the question. So we just read this, we hear their views, and then we can argue with them. Now, this is in order of priority, these questions. And they told me you sent 5 questions, like you asked for questions. So this, yeah. So the second question is about the jurisdiction group. The jurisdiction group came up with these recommendations for sanction relief for some countries, and the responses of board. I should stop calling board YAC. The responses of board is very. They are not really opposing, but they are not really accepting either, and discussing. They are saying, oh, some of the recommendation, there might be like some cost associated with it, or sometime, or in one of the comments, which was absolutely, I think, I just thought they hadn't read the report, was that they said, we need more background research on this. And I have been doing research on this issue for the past year and a half, and we have strict cases of the issues that people face for jurisdiction problems. So these are the things, of course, I'm not going to be talking about it in this tone, but this is what I'm telling you what the problem with the board comment is. But in general, do you want to say something, Rafiq?
Did you finish?
No, I'm fine.
Okay, thanks, Fazania. I think it's an important topic, and maybe the whole context about work stream recommendations seem that the board commented for all the subgroups, and they always bring about the budget, the cost for the implementation. It seems they kind of that was the constraint. That's whatever you suggest, that's what's the cost, what the budget. Yeah. And it seems that even for the jurisdiction, to some extent. So that's maybe something we should have in mind, and how we understand about the constraints, but we are talking about accountability. It should not be budget oriented at the end. So, okay, I want to add for this topic.
So, I'm going to read that question, and then Aidan, we have a question about the budget, which Aidan is going to read.
Sure, Aidan Fadaline for the record. So, the question that we're going to ask the board, and I'm. To sort of paraphrase the NCUC chair, this is a cruel budget because within the draft FY19 budget, there are a number of cuts that have been proposed that will either directly or indirectly hurt us. And that's what we're going to draw attention to, the fact that our success depends on many factors, including the availability of resources. And likewise, a lack of resources can also result in our failure. And our failure, of course, brings into question the legitimacy of ICANN and the whole multi-stakeholder model. So we're going to be specifically identifying the fact that the additional budgetary request envelope has shrunk by 2/3, crop has been entirely eliminated, and at the same time, headcount is growing by 25, personnel costs are growing by 11%, and in total, personnel costs and professional services come to 73% of the budget. So surely, if the budget is imbalanced, it makes sense to look at where the majority of the budget is being spent and not only at the small sliver of the budget that we receive. So that will be the gist of our comment. It will be a bit more diplomatic than that. And we're simply going to be asking whether or not the board agrees with the proposed cuts to community support, whether they know the impact that it will have on our activities. And I'll make sure to comment on quite clearly on what is that impact going to be? What do we see happening? And again, I'll be a bit more diplomatic than this, but I would certainly make it clear that given the significant cuts that have been proposed to the support we receive, and the very generous increases in support going to ICANN staff, it suddenly suggests that our volunteer work is not valued by the organization. I'm going to be a bit more diplomatic than that because I know the answer already, but thanks.
Thanks, Aidan. Farzan is speaking. So one answer to this question is that yes, we have provided you with the Excel sheet to tell us where we are going wrong or which program should be cut. And I think our response would be that, yeah, and you should consider our comment into account and promise that you're actually going, it's going to be effective because we write all these comments, and if they don't consider it, then it won't go.
Stephanie Perrin, for the record, not to bring up COSO compliance again, but I did have a chat with Xavier after bringing it up in the GNSO meeting. He understood what I was talking about on COSO compliance. Those of you who've never worked with this, it's an internationally recognized system of setting up frameworks for measuring how an institution is complying with requirements. So those requirements, they cover security, they cover ethics, they cover human rights, they cover basically all the kinds of things that we care about and that are not now measured. That's why we should be interested in getting this framework in place. And one of the reasons I was late was stopping to talk to an ESSAC person who totally understands this. So, for instance, defense contracting also already complies with COSO because it has to be measured on across a whole bunch of things, including human rights. Now, what I didn't know, Matt Shears told me that after the IANA transition, the NTIA actually measured the accountability framework that we came up with against COSO. So that's kind of a stepping stone to do this. Why would we want this? Why would we burden ourselves with this bureaucracy? Because it situates our ask, our demands, in a well-known framework where the metrics have been worked out in various situations. So instead of us going, ALAC gets more money than we do, you're cutting our travel, we've actually got that in a framework that says if you're doing this properly and you're supporting civil society, you have to have this portion of the budget or this, you know. And we have to measure ourselves in terms of our professionalism, in terms of our output, and all of the things that we get going. So trust me, you're going to love this. And I am not a process bureaucrat. Rafiq, you'll back me up that I am terrible on process. But sometimes you need a process framework to get what you want, and I would suggest that we need this. Thank you. So there's a maturity model thing. I will send it around if anybody's interested. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Stephanie. You mentioned many things like COSO. I don't think everyone know that. I think it's risk management, that framework used by ICANN, and they asked about. But since you are mentioning so many framework, I'm not sure that everyone is familiar with this, depending the experience of the corporate world. But if you can summarize those points or elaborate more, that will be helpful, just to, or even sharing some links.
I'll come up with a two-pager for you. How's that?
Okay, I'm taking note of this. And maybe what will happen, too, if we talk about the budget, they will tell us that it's a process working with the community to shape the budget, and there will be a finance and budget session in this meeting that we should attend, or at least to participate. Unfortunately, one of them is clashing with the public meeting for the GNSO, but there are venue for us to participate still in the process, not just stopping with the public comment. So maybe to have that in mind, I think this is possible answer from the board. So to be ready for that. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, Farzana Badi is speaking. So we have two more questions to ask from the board. I don't know if we get the time to do this. Just to let you know, one is about CCTV review implementation of the outcome. We opposed a lot of the recommendations of that review, and they're very concerning. So we are asking one question about that. That would be Rafiq who will respond. And then, who will ask the question? yeah. And then Tatiana will talk about, will ask the question on GAC advice has been given the undue attention.
Okay, thanks.
Shall I ask in these words, or can I make it a bit more diplomatic?
You can make it more diplomatic, but I've submitted this question, so they know where it's coming from. Yes, of course. So we are not really, as long as you keep the spirit, you don't have to keep my beautiful words. But also, we might not get to these questions to be answered because we might not have the time. What I'm going to do is that I'm going to send them these questions. If they don't answer, I'm just going to ask them, well, we didn't get this question answered, so answer them.
Okay, thanks for the sound. I'm hearing that kind of we are saying we will say in diplomatic way, we'll be diplomatic. That's good. We are not kind of trying to push the board, but also thinking how we can really engage them, because depending on previous experiences that we talk that just really short or not committal answer from them. So we need to have in mind how we can really get dialogue or discussion with the board. I mean, even if just we cover one or two topic, but we have an engaged discussion and hearing from many board members, that will be really, I think, success for us. Yes, Tatiana.
Yes, I think that, you know, we can learn a lot from this GNSO session with the board today. That it shouldn't be, you know, like just strange exchange of information, like almost, you know, in parallel. We can try, I don't know, for this meeting or for the next meeting, but I totally agree with you that we have to think about having a meaningful conversation with the board.
Yeah, for the GNSO, I would blame the board, because they asked us those kind of vague question about what's your goal or something. It doesn't seem that they did a lot of work. And then we get like long presentation from Shirin. I mean, it's hard to have a discussion. Okay, that's nice to know what you are doing. But they, yes, Aidan, I'm not forgetting you.
Oh, I didn't think you were, Rafiq, but thank you. Aidan Fedeline for the record. I was wondering what we think about distributing, say, a hard copy of our comment on the budget, for one for each board member while they're there, something they can take away with them. A hard copy of our comment on the budget.
Yeah, sure. We can just send an email to Ozan. Do you know how we can print things here? Thank you. Okay, and we are now done with the questions board. And I wanted to make another comment, but...
Okay. Thanks for that. I think we are done with that meeting. And we have like less than 50 minutes left. And I think we covered it. Yes, so...
it's not to my benefit to be here because we have to work on the camera, but can I make one more comment?
Okay, let me finish first, please. Okay. So we covered like tragedy bear. I mean, I know if maybe it looks like a messy agenda because we changed it in the last minute to cope with the kind of urgent the issue, but I think we achieved something for today. So I guess what you want to bring it can be under any other business. Yes.
Yeah, so we are going to discuss, I believe, our goals, like long-term goals and short-term goals. And as we discussed yesterday, I'm just going to talk about what our plans are and what our values are. I'm going to tell them, I don't know what you mean by goals, so I'm just going to I'm going to come up with a paragraph, and I'm going to share it with PC before before saying it at the board meeting.
Okay. I know it was a long day for everyone, and I don't want to keep you more. We try to cover as much as possible. So if there is no other point that we want to talk or any other issue that we should discuss, I can say that we can close the meeting for today and have a nice evening. Yep, that's it.
This doesn't have to be a cover. I just wanted to say that I'm very grateful to Stephanie for drafting all these letters and I think we have been very, very effective and really influenced the process. And you have been very active, and it's very noticeable. Thank you, Stephanie.